I'm going to begin because we have a dozen reports this morning from students from across the nation. We're going to start way out in the east in Massachusetts and listen to what's going on out there, and then we're going to move back locally and we will start talking about things that are happening here in Minnesota. And it's always interesting to compare one place to another. The kids that report from Massachusetts are roughly at the latitude of, maybe Albert Lea, maybe Des Moines, somewhere in that area, south of Minnesota. So we'll be giving them a listen in just a second. But let me tell you first that funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. The Phenology Talkbacks are produced by our own Charlie Mitchell. And your support, your regular weekly, monthly support to KAXE makes up the difference for the student phenology and for all the other things that you hear here on the radio. So don't delay. You've probably reached out and swatted the alarm on your phone, and now it's time to get up and you're listening to us and it's time to make the call.
Yep, let's keep it local. We keep it local with your membership right now. 218-326-1234.
Our first report comes from Mrs. Paul and Mrs. Fisher's class at the Fort River Elementary School in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Hi and hello from Fort River School in Amherst, Massachusetts. Daylight savings time has started and warmer weather is coming. Next, Walker's here to tell us about some signs of spring.
Some flowers are in bloom, including daffodils, purple crocus, and dandelions. Skunk cabbage is growing in the swamp. Most of its color is maroon, but the flowers are blooming. The weather has been much warmer every day this week, up in the high 50s to mid-60s. The mosquitoes and several bees are out as well. There has also been garlic poking up. Logan even saw a bunny on his way home from school. Some people noticed that the leaves on the trees are coming back. There are buds on the walnut tree, silky dogwood, and red maple. The grass is much greener than it was the last time we came out.
On March 13th, the day length was 11 hours, 20 minutes, and 50 seconds, and it got up to 64 degrees with a low of 28.
And that's a wrap from the Western Mass Phenology class.
Thank you very much, kids. Always nice to hear from those folks. As I said, they're just latitudinally, they are slightly south of Minnesota. And just to review, they have daffodils, crocus, dandelions, and skunk cabbage all in bloom. They have mosquitoes and bees. I had one mosquito, and unfortunately she didn't survive the encounter, but that's how it goes with mosquitoes. Garlic is poking up. The walnut, the silky dogwood, and the red maple are breaking buds. So can't be, if it's happening there, it's going to be happening here very soon. And our next report is way down south in Northfield, Minnesota, from the Prairie Creek Community School.
Hi, this is Jackson.
And this is Kaya. And we're from Prairie Creek Community School, way down south in Northfield, Minnesota.
It has been crazy weather around here.
Everything seems very confused. The squirrel and forsythia are blooming.
We have dandelion flowers and the burdock is up.
The rhubarb is starting to pop up at Silas's house.
We're still seeing juncos.
And there are a lot of eagles around, too.
We've seen a lot of red-winged blackbirds.
And the cedar waxwings and robins have been feasting on the crabapples from last year.
Silas even saw some seagulls, and Michelle might have seen pelicans, but they were very high up.
We saw and felt our first mosquitoes on March 11th.
And the frogs by Anita's house started to chirp.
Andrew even saw a frog by his pond.
Sophie saw a worm on the 14th.
And Andrew saw an ant on the 15th.
The leaves from our white oak have started to fall.
And the big ash tree on our playground has bud break. Don't worry, folks. We are treating the tree so it doesn't get emerald ash borer.
There have been a lot of deer out and about.
And I saw a chipmunk.
I saw another dead skunk, and Silas and Sienna both smelled skunks.
Woo! That is a sign of spring that is not my favorite.
This has been Prairie Creek.
One more step along the finale journey.
Thank you, Jackson and Kaya. That was a great report. Yeah, we did have some really nice temperatures. They had 70 degrees last week, and now it's not even 30, and that sort of sums up what's going on here, too. We saw 60s last week, and now it's just barely making the 30s. Squill and forsythia, I have both at my house, and neither one. The squill is not even up out of the ground, and the forsythia, the buds are pretty tight yet. I'll be really interested to see how that compares. Dandelion flowers, burdock is poking up, rhubarb is poking up. They still have juncos. I hear a few reports of juncos in this area, but I have not seen a junco yet at my house. Lots of eagles, red-winged blackbirds, cedar waxwings, robins, lots of birds that you would expect. Some seagulls, and Michelle might have seen pelicans, and that wouldn't surprise me. This is about the time of year that they start to move north. And with the ice going out of the area lakes, why, this is a perfect time for them to show up. Mosquitoes, frogs beginning to sing, so that's pretty interesting. And worms and ants, that tells you the ground is warming. The leaves on the old, last year's leaves on the white oaks have started to fall. And the big ash tree in the playground has bud break, and I'm pleased to hear that they are treating the tree to prevent its loss to emerald ash borer. That will be an interesting survivor, hopefully. And that's our notes from Prairie Creek. It's awfully nice to hear from them.
I have to interrupt you for just a moment, John, because this just in, we do have a match on the table.
Oh.
We get 10 donations during the morning show, an extra $2,000 thrown in, thanks to a confidential member who wanted to make sure we got off to a great start. So
oh my.
We don't need 15 or 10 donations right now. We just need that first one to get us going before 7 o'clock. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234 or call that number. We really need you now. I also want to let you know, John, that coming up at 9 o'clock is Susan Lick on the River. And during that program, Sam Miltich will be live in studio.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I'll have to, you know me, I won't put in an earbud, but I'll listen in between classes for
That's
sure.
That's right.
I'll be waiting to hear from.
Help us out this morning. We really need you now. 218-326-1234.
Yeah, maybe you can tell us about the maple syrup in your neighborhood. There's been a lot of, I won't say controversy. There's always a lot of conversation surrounding the sap gathering and maple syruping. And there is, this year is no exception. There have been some, and well, it's been a pretty early season for a lot of syrupers. So if that's the case at your house, give us a call, pledge your support, and let us know what's happening. We're going to catch one more of these student reports. Remember, these are produced by Charlie Mitchell. They are funded by you and me and a lot of effort on the part of Charlie and I to get out and talk to these teachers and give them the confidence to take their kids outside and get them observing nature. It's a pretty interesting and exciting program that we are running. And we will hope that you will step up and say, yeah, I heard my grandson or my granddaughter on the radio, and I'd like to become a member of KAXE. That would just make my day. Our last report for this hour is coming from Oak Grove Elementary in Bloomington.
Hi, this is
Nathan,
Hannah,
Vinny,
and Ellie, reporting from Oak Grove Elementary in Bloomington, Minnesota. Today's report is all about sap and syrup.
We have a maple tree on the playground, and we tapped it. We collected 3 gallons of sap so far.
Then we boiled it for 6 hours and got 1 cup of pure maple syrup.
We did taste test of it against the fake syrup, the sugar and water kind. Half of our club liked the fake syrup more, and half of it liked the real maple syrup more.
Some kids even mixed them both together.
One kid said the real syrup tasted like grandma's house.
That's it for today's OGE Phenology Club update.
Let this stick in your brain.
Let this stick in your brain and on your fingers, too. What a great report. And talking about, maple syrup and sap gathering, 3 gallons of sap. Let's see, 2 cups in a pint, 4 pints in a gallon. Is that it? two cups and a pint, eight pints.
I always ask Google these questions. I'm not a good source for you today.
So there's two cups in a pint, two pints in a quart, four quarts in a gallon. So that would be 16 cups in a gallon times 3 is 30 to 48. So the ratio there would be 48 to 1, which is, you know, in the neighborhood. That must have been some really good syrup.
That's right.
And they couldn't decide which they liked better, the fake or the real stuff. Well, you know, when I was a little child, my mother made all the bread that we ate at our house. And the one thing that I wanted as a child more than anything else was what I called boughten bread. It was bread made by Wonder or somebody else. That was my wish as a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Now that I'm 75, I wish my mother were still here baking bread for me.
Right. It could be in the freezer for you to enjoy.
Oh, my.
Same thing with me growing up. My dad was an avid fisherman. We always had fish in our freezer and fridge, and we were not allowed to order fish at a restaurant or ever have something like fish sticks. So as an adult, I sort of like fish sticks, which is ridiculous, but it's because I couldn't have them, even though I have better sources of fish than that. But that's how it goes sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And now it's time to go back to our student reports. We have been massaging and developing a network of students across the country. We started our report this morning way out east in Amherst, Massachusetts. We came back to Northfield, and our next stop is going to be the Kenwood Community School in Minneapolis.
Hi, I'm Natalie Peterson with Kenwood Community School, and I am here with Caleb to share our nature findings for the week.
The first one is on March 15th, the birds have came back from migrating to like different states and stuff. They came back because I guess it got warmer and now it's not like freezing and it's not cold. And the second thing I observed was that there's grass growing back. The grass isn't dying so easily anymore. And there's not that much leaves on the trees anymore. They're growing back and stuff and they're kind of changing colors, but there's not as much leaves on all the trees. It's warmer and I see more plants growing and there's more just like crops in general growing around the Minnesota.
I'm Calvin from Kenwood Elementary School, and some of the phenologies are, it's very green and it's very early in the year. And because of that, robins and other types of birds are coming back from the migration. And there are just lots of other animals and squirrels out too.
Thank you very much, Natalie. Thanks, Calvin. Thanks, Caleb. Nice job. Kids are getting out and getting some experience at looking at stuff. Caleb noted that the grass is growing back. It's not so brown anymore. Birds are coming back, and robins and blackbirds and lots of other stuff. The temperature is definitely getting warmer. Plants are growing. And as Calvin said, it's very green, very early this year. And robins and other types of birds are coming back. And animals like squirrels are out. And if you watch the squirrels, you'll see that they're doing a lot of chasing right now, which is part of their springtime activity. So thanks again for that great report from the Kenwood Community School in Minneapolis. Our next report, and by the way, all of these reports are made possible by support from the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, and our talkbacks are produced by our good friend and compatriot, Charlie Mitchell. Our next report this morning comes from the Little Falls Middle School.
This is Harper and Bella reporting from Mr. Kaditz's class in Little Falls Middle School. This is our phenology report for the week of March 17th.
This week, we saw a return of red-winged blackbirds, common grackles, wood ducks, mallards, and green-winged teal.
We did have another unique find this week. A Eurasian collared dove was recorded on the Merlin app.
The crocuses are up and blooming, and on Saturday we found our first dandelions blooming by the high school.
We are observing more and more geese that seem to be hanging out in pairs.
In one day, we went from seeing singles or pairs of robins to seeing large flocks as more and more arrived here.
Our first deer tick was reported on the 15th. We are anticipating a large tick population this spring.
Mr. Kaditz thought he heard a frog croak, but it never repeated its call, so it is unverified.
The strong wind this weekend blew a lot of the old red oak leaves off the trees.
There was a zebra jumping spider soaking up the sun on the south side of the baseball shed.
You can't miss the cardinals as they are calling very loudly in the mornings.
That is our report for this week. Until next week, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
Well, that's from Little Falls Middle School, Harper and Bella, and Mr. Kaditz. Mr., if you look at the KAXE Season Watch, and if you haven't gotten hooked up with Season Watch, it's really easy. Go to kaxe.org. You'll find the link there. And once a week, you'll get delivered to your email inbox a nice compendium of the phenology report for that week, including a lot of the student reports. And this week, it features a lot of the drawings that Mr. Kaditz has done. And Mr. Kaditz is quite the artist. It's very, very lovely, the things that he's done. He does these drawings in the classroom on the chalkboard, and it's a way of sort of alerting the kids to some of the things that they should be looking for. And speaking of looking for things, they really were. This is a great report. The return of red-winged blackbirds, common grackles, wood ducks, mallards, and green-winged teal, an Eurasian collared dove, crocuses and dandelions blooming. It just goes on. Geese coming back in pairs, singles of robins, now large flocks. And the deer ticks on March 15th. Mr. Kaditz thought he heard a frog croak, and I know that feeling, but it did not repeat its call, so he wouldn't write it down, and I feel the same way. One frog croak does not a spring make. Red oak leaves coming off the trees, a zebra jumping spider in the south side of the baseball shed, and cardinals are calling loudly, so brace yourself for that. Our next report comes from Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade. This report is brought to you by Candy, Claire, and the students at San Rafael Catholic School in Crystal.
This is Claire
and Candy from St. Raphael Catholic School in Crystal. During our outdoor school trip to Long Lake Conservation Center March 11th through the 13th, the low temperature was 27 degrees Fahrenheit and the high temperature was 64 degrees. The last time we had temperatures in the 60s was October 20th. The big news was that the ice went out on Long Lake on Monday, March 11th. That is a full month earlier than the historical average. In comparison, last year ice out was on April 30th, and in 2022 it was on April 29th. The open water seemed to wake nature up. Our group saw and heard many cool things, including lots of the first of the year sightings. These included American robins, Canada geese, common grackles, a hooded merganser, and Compton tortoise shell butterflies.
Our group had a really fun close encounter with beavers. We watched two small and two large beavers carrying sticks through the water. One even came and sat on a log near shore. The otters were seen popping their heads up and playing, and we saw two eagles flying over the lake together. One was an adult and the other was immature. The hairy and pileated woodpeckers were very active, drumming and playing. Our group counted 40 garter snakes outside the hibernacula, soaking up the sun. We encountered a gopher in the thicket and enjoyed drinking sap and tasting syrup and maple candy. Our teachers confessed to cutting a night hike short because they got the poop scared out of them by three owls. It was an eventful week in nature, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, and live connected.
You're laughing, Heidi.
Yes. It got the poop scared out of
you. Have you had the poop scared out of you?
Oh, I sure have, like by a grouse or an owl.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
A fox?
Yeah.
Fox can scream in the middle of the dark night. A fox will scream somewhere nearby, and honest to God, the hair all over my body stands up, and I'm just like, oh, my God, why am I here?
We're bringing you these phenology reports. You've come to rely on this to keep you going in your morning. We know we're getting you off to a great start, and we're asking the same from you. We need your help. Be a member. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. More phenology reports up next.
Yeah, we'll get right to them. Long Lake, ice out on March 11th. That was a day before Crooked Lake, which is I'm about 40 miles north of them. So nice little bit of phenology there. Robins, Canada geese, common grackles, hooded mergansers, and a Compton's tortoiseshell. And beavers and otters, two eagles. Man, they saw lots. Hairy and pileated. 40 garter snakes. The Long Lake Conservation Center has a hibernacula for garter snakes. It's not something they created. It's just that they're there, and the garter snakes found a place there that they like, and that's where they've been hanging out. So they get a chance to sort of observe these guys coming out early in the spring. And this is certainly an early trip for them. So our next report comes from Darcy Rolfe and Lee Jackson's class at the North Shore Community School near Duluth.
Hello, from North Shore Community School on the North Shore of Lake Superior. This is the phenology report for the week of March 9th, 2024. My name is Iris May, and I'm your phenologist for this week. This week, temperatures were well above the average. These temps do not usually happen until the second week of May. The high temp for Monday, March 11th, was 62 degrees, which beat the record of 60 degrees, and the normal temp is usually 34 degrees. Also, it's been noted that this is officially Duluth's least snowiest season on record as of March 10th, even if we picked up the average snowfall for the rest of the spring. On Saturday, March 9th, we had 11 hours and 59 minutes of daylight. On Sunday, March 10th, we turned our clocks 1 hour ahead for daylight saving time. We are excited to have longer daylight length into the evening. Mrs. Rolfe's neighbor on Wildwood Road had a red-winged blackbird in their feeder on March 10th. They said this was the earliest they have seen one here. They usually arrive in late March. Miss Jackson briefly spotted a goldfinch at her bird feeder on Saturday, March 9th. She usually doesn't see them until April at the earliest. On Sunday, March 10th, Miss Urban saw two yellow-rumped warblers in her yard, foraging on the ground. On Monday, March 11th, Eloise's family, who had recently brushed their dog, saw a robin gathering fur from around their yard. On Wednesday morning, March 13th, when Mrs. Marcon arrived at school, she heard an owl hooting from the woods. On Wednesday, March 13th, Miss Urban heard a grouse strumming for the first time. On Sunday, March 10th, Mrs. Marcon was walking her dog and saw a sign of spring. The pussy willow, or goat willow, was beginning to bud on the trees down her road. On Wednesday, March 13th, Miss Urban began boiling our maple sap collection to begin the process of making maple syrup. On Tuesday, March 12th, Miss Urban saw a tortoiseshell butterfly in the school forest. On Wednesday morning, March 13th, wood frogs were heard in a swall on Miss Jackson's property in Knife River. With the warm weather on Monday, March 11th, Mrs. Ross' science class enjoyed learning about NASA's upcoming Europa Clipper mission while sitting outside on their trail chairs. This concludes the phenology report. Have a great week and be observant.
Nice job, Iris May. Thank you so much for that great report. Those kids really get a chance to get out and make some great observations. March 11th, a high of 62 degrees. The usual temperature, the average temperature for that time of year is 34 degrees. Duluth's least snowiest season on record. We may make that record as well. Almost 12 hours on March 9th, 11 hours and 59 minutes of day length. Today, the 19th, is our equinox at 6.06 p.m. tonight. The sun will be directly over the equator and moving north. Red-winged blackbirds, this is the earliest they'd seen them. Goldfinches, yellow-rumped warblers. That's a nice note. They are early arrivals. The yellow-rumped warbler, Harry Hutchins taught me this, the yellow-rumped warbler can alter its diet from insects to fruits and back again. And this time of year, they would be arriving. They would probably sustain themselves on fruits while they await the arrival of more insects. And those insects will be coming out pretty quickly. Grouse drumming on the 13th, pussy willows boiling sap for their syrup, Compton's tortoiseshell butterfly, and on the 13th, wood frogs heard in a swale near Miss Jackson's property on the Knife River. So lots of great phenology out of Duluth and headed our way.
This is the big one people have been waiting for.
This one?
Mm-hmm.
The West Elementary?
Uh-huh.
All right, here it is.
Hi, our names are
Graham,
Tristan,
and Owen
from Mr. Cody's fourth grade classroom at West Elementary School. Wow, what a day. We're going to skip all the butt break for the day. On our way to the creek, we noticed a large amount of white birds sat on the sidewalk. Little did we know what was coming. Three noisy eagles began circling. Two of them landed in a tree for mating, which is pretty rare. It was amazing to see so close. Taylor and Maddie even got a binocular view. Before leaving, one of them dropped proof of what the original scat was from. What made it more crazy was our notes from March 8th, 2022. We saw two eagles in the same area. Watch,
learn, and observe.
Thank you, kids. Boy, that was quite the day. And I have to tell you that they all handled it very well. It was an amazing sight. And I love the way they put it all together, because I had pointed out this scat on the trail. There was a bunch of whitewash on the trail, and I told them how eagles, you know, void themselves, and they don't do it in their nest. They back up to the edge and they let it go, and sometimes they sit on a branch somewhere and they let it go, and this particular patch of scat was right in the area where these two eagles showed up. So it was a nice full circle. And then to have notes from the previous year, thank you, Mr. Cody, for checking. March 8th, 2022, two eagles in the same area. So, yeah, in fact, those two eagles were actually in the process of building a nest a year ago. So who knows? Those two eagles may have been the two that we actually got to witness.
We get to hear a few more phenology reports.
Yeah,
before
you
we're
know,
done.
And our phenology reports are funded in part by a grant from the Minnesota Natural Resources. It should be here. There it is. In part, Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, and of course, they're produced by our own Charlie Mitchell, and we appreciate all of the work that she does and the support that we get from the state of Minnesota to introduce children to the out-of-doors. And this report comes from Mr. Lindner's fifth grade science class in Cohasset.
Hello, I'm Maggie and Cadence. We are in Mr. Lindner's fifth grade science classroom at Cohasset Elementary School. We have made a lot of observations over the past week.
We have been tracking the average temperatures to predict ice out. Our class has calculated 50.5 towards ice out. Students have reported Lil Bess Lake, Kevin O'Bess, Lake and many little lakes have already iced out. Usually it does not happen closer to 220 degrees toward ice out, but lack of snow, bad ice conditions, and warm temps have sped up the process.
Our class has spotted many robins around town and outside of town. We have also spotted many geese, swans, and ducks. Other students saw a fox and coyote. We have also spotted many willows and fuzzy buds.
We are looking forward to another week of observations. Thank you for listening. Like Mr. Ledmer always says, onward and awkward.
Yeah, they're onward and I'm awkward, but that's all right. We get there. And we do get a lot of things going and get to see a lot of stuff. And last week, we did see a lot of geese, swans, and ducks. We saw robins and the willows there. We have a nice female willow that we're watching. And she is, her catkins are open, but not yet developed into the flowering stage, which normally would happen mid-April. I'm thinking if this cold weather holds through the end of the month, it might be the early part of April before we see that beginning to develop. But right now, it just depends on temperature, whether it's warm or not. And right now, it's not. Our next report comes from the Science Nature Adventure Program in Bemidji.
Hi, this is Mason Johnson from Bemidji Middle School SNAP Group, giving the phenology report for the week of 11th through the 17th. For the past following weeks, we have observed that robins are back already. We have one osprey nest on school grounds that the pair has already came back, but the SNAP group is guessing when the next pair comes back. When we were walking in the woods by our school, we saw red squirrels fighting, and we saw buds bursting on quaking aspens already. Plus, we wanted to check out the turtle ponds, and they were really low. But if you see a turtle, you must treat it like royalty. One pond over by the Ultimate Frisbee course is completely empty. We have seen a luna on Lake Bemidji with other assorted birds. There has been green grass with 60 degrees with lots of wind. Watch out for water or deer ticks. They are out. Until next time, snap to it, get into the wild, and be observant.
Thank you very much for that great report, kids. That was from the SNAP group at Bemidji. They have a nice, nice trail. Red squirrels fighting. This is the season when red squirrels may look like they're fighting, but it's more courtship than fight. But keep an eye on them. If they, if you see them running and the lead squirrel sets the pace, that is, the one following doesn't overtake the lead one, then usually what's happening there is that the female is sort of leading the male on a little chase to test his abilities. The osprey nest, the pair has come back. That really is surprising to me. Ospreys typically return around the third week in April. So this would be really early for an osprey to be back. I'd want to get over there and have a look at that. That would be really cool to see. Turtle ponds, boy, yeah. If you see a turtle, treat it like royalty. Yeah, help it. There have been some turtles out. I've seen some pictures of people moving turtles off the roads, and that's always a good thing. And it won't be too long, and they will be getting out. Typically, they are out laying eggs late May, early June. Our final report this week comes from Lake of the Woods School in Bedette.
This is Melody with the phenology report from Bedette for March 9th through the 15th. Friday, our class tapped a maple tree outside of our classroom. So far, it's been a great week for sap collecting. Our best day on Thursday yielded 1,440 milliliters of sap. While checking our sap bucket on Monday, many students noticed a housefly attracted to the sap. On Monday, a crane fly was seen fluttering outside of a student's house window. Also on Monday, Molly spied a snowshoe hare in the forest near her home. Blotches of brown were beginning to appear on the hare's body. Finally, on Thursday, Mr. Burcham reported the first American kestrel in Lake of the Woods County.
Great report. Thank you so much for that, Melody. 1,440 milliliters, 48 ounces of sap. They'll need a bit more if they're going to create enough syrup to feed the class. I was going to do some math, but I'll skip that because math isn't my strong suit. Houseflies attracted to the sap. A crane fly is like this. You're going to see a crane fly, you're going to think giant mosquito. But if you look carefully, you'll see that there are no mouth parts. There are no biting parts on the front end of it. But if you see a mosquito that's about a 3/4 inch long or longer, that's a crane fly. It's not a mosquito, and it's not going to bite you, so don't swat it. And the snowshoe hare with blotches of brown, that's a good sign that spring is not far off. And I'm sure that hare, after surviving a winter of being white on a brown background, will be happy to get back to being brown.
Right. I bet he wishes he was brown all winter this year.
You know, the fact that he survived the whole winter is testament to his abilities. Because, boy, you kind of stand out. It's like that old Gary Larson cartoon where the bear is standing there with a big target on his chest and his buddy goes, "Too bad about that birthmark, Bob."
It is the second day of the Keep It Local membership drive. We're keeping it local. You just heard the kids from Bidette and their report. Last fall, we got one of the most wonderful gifts, and it was from Northfield. They are contributing phenologists as part of the network, and Charlie has reminded us to maybe we need to take a listen to the poem that they created.
Oh,
it kind of sums
God.
Up what phonology does.
I wasn't prepared to cry this morning, Heidi.
Nah,
here we
me
go.
Me neither, but you know what? I do have a Kleenex
all right,
here, so
grab
let her
them,
rip.
You guys.
For John.
I never noticed how.
Fawns jump, fox kids play.
A bald eagle perches.
Peat color hits.
A murmuration of birds cover the sky in a flapping of wings.
I'm mesmerized.
Excited to watch.
Sometimes the littlest things are best.
Noticing the clouds.
The wildflower in my backyard.
The changing leaves.
The hidden mushroom.
The birds singing their usual song.
My backyard holds generations.
All the little things gather into one big thing, a season.
When I was small, I didn't notice.
Now I ask questions. I pay attention.
I look delicately.
I welcome the spring's first heron.
I say goodbye to the fall's last dragonfly.
I have a whole new way to see the world.
We can't say it any better. These are kids that are growing up knowing phonology, and it is making a difference in their lives. We know it makes a difference in your life, and we are just asking you to help us continue this program. This is how it works in public radio. We come to you 3 times a year. We very kindly ask you to support us, and it has been working since 1976 that people understand the importance of local media. Do it now at KAXE.org. You guys okay over there? A little wet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Keep it local. That's our theme, and that's the theme of phonology. Those kids summed it up perfectly.
Yeah.